Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our gospel reading today comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 1 to 13, in which Jesus challenges his listeners to a deeper understanding and to employ worldly wisdom to further his mission. Daily, we are confronted with ethical dilemmas. How can we find peace of mind? Will Scripture provide us clear answers of all of life's questions? Worship, you see, needs to have a vision that looks to God first, and then to the community, and then to the world beyond the walls of the community of Christ. We are driven by the question, how do we share our gifts of faith in the world? We are constantly seeking ways to be a witness to the treasures that we have found, to the joy we live. But Jesus seems to offer a question for all of life's answers. The question in today's lesson, whom do you serve? Luke chapter 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. And so, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He answered, 100 jugs of oil. And he said, take your bill, sit down quickly and make it 50. And then he asked another, and how much do you owe? And he replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. These things we ask in the name of Jesus, who is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So I have questions today. Let's say you don't want to go to an old friend's wedding, but you don't want to hurt his feelings. Is it okay to lie about why you're staying home? Should you feel guilty about tapping into your neighbor's wireless network, even if he's not bothered to protect it with a password? Let's say you are asked to donate a kidney to a friend. Is it okay to say that you'll give up your kidney only if your friend stops smoking? Let's say you were at a concert and your seats are kind of way back, but the ones in the front are empty and they're more expensive. Is it okay to move up and take the good seats even though you didn't pay for them? All these questions actually come to the author of the New York Times column, The Ethicist. People write in their real life questions, and the columnist, Randy Cohen, tells the world right from wrong. It's a basic question. Parents pride themselves on teaching their kids right from wrong. But if we've all been so successful in teaching our kids right from wrong, I wonder who the kids are that are writing to Randy Cohen. Why would one such grown-up kid scan past all the ambiguity of the Sunday paper to find this one little column that clarifies life's little questions? Well, maybe it's because knowing right from wrong isn't such a basic question after all. We live in a very complicated world, don't we? Sometimes our minds are so bewildered by the numerous dilemmas that we face, we hardly know up from down, much less right from wrong. If a cashier undercharged you and you don't realize it till you've gotten in the car, must you go back and correct the mistake? Does it matter if the person who made the error works for a big box store versus a little country grocery store? Well, here's one for today's world. And I know you've all faced this. When you self-check out in the grocery store and the kiosk asks you how many plastic bags you used, is it okay to say zero if you've used even one? Who's going to know after all, right? Is it more wrong to pocket the benefit of the clerk's error if it is a small business locally owned? What if you saved all that money that you made from being undercharged and gave it to the church? Now that would be okay? What about this? What if at some point in your past you were ripped off? Not just once, but maybe you were ripped off a few times. What if at some point in your life you were mugged, cheated, or robbed? Then is it okay to take the extra charge? After all, maybe the universe is trying to give you back a little of what was taken away. It is just this kind of question that Jesus poses to his hearers in the lesson that we have today from Luke's gospel. A manager has gotten caught with his hand in the cookie jar. So he puts his deceitful ways to work to establish a nest egg before he gets the axe. Jesus says the master complimented the dishonest manager because he had acted so shrewdly. And then Jesus adds, this is very interesting. Make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth so that when it's gone, they may welcome you into eternal homes. What does that mean? Jesus' story and the strange moral he draws from it has confused faithful scholars and students of Scripture for generations. There are probably as many interpretations of that one little verse as there are scholars in the world today. We might have hoped for more from Jesus. He, of all people, should have given us a clear-cut answer to one of life's most confounding questions. But despite our longing for clarity, and despite what many religious voices say, we do not find clear answers to all of life's questions in Scripture and from the mouth of Jesus. To the contrary, instead, we most often find a question for every black and white answer. So in the face of the shades of gray that we encounter every day, in the face of complicated issues that demand more attention when we have to give, in the face of our own anger and sense that the world has not been entirely fair, and in the face of challenges that unsettle our settled opinions, the question that Jesus asks, whom do you serve? That is the thing to get clear on. It's the thing to get clear on, and it's something that we must ask. In the face of the confounding questions, we don't need answers as much as we need just one good question. Whom do I serve? In whose arms do I entrust myself? Who is leading me, my dance through life, through the complexities of right and wrong in this murky and confusing life that we live? We face difficult questions every single day, don't we? Which is the side of justice in the Middle East? What is the right course of action in Iran or even in Afghanistan? What about stem cell research or euthanasia? What about abortion to a teen who is impregnated and carries a new life? What's the right thing to do? What is the right thing to do to protect our borders while at the same time helping people who need refuge find refuge? How are we going to follow the way our children are leading us in this world today? They are crying out for us to listen and to pay attention. What is the right thing to do with big gifts of money that are given to the church as an investment to help answer that question as we make those kinds of decisions? The question we must ask is, whom do we follow? Do we follow the money, or do we follow our Creator God, who, when it comes to our financial decisions? I told you I had a lot of questions. As a Christian church, I think we know the answer, what the answer must be. Do we err on the side of caution and put it all in the bank and never take a calculated, prayerful risk? What about when we see the stock markets crashing and at the same time sense that God is calling us to make a commitment in a ministry? Do we hesitate? Or do we risk actually answering the Great Commission and following God's call here at this church for the world today? Whom do we serve? We can spin it around and around if we do not ask and answer that question. Because if I serve a God of mercy, if I follow a God of peace, if I am led by a God of forgiveness, if I am dancing through life in the arms of a God of love, new answers arise and new questions will also arise. Our Bible study for the next 8 weeks takes us through the 8 of the 12 spiritual disciplines. This week we are studying the discipline of Bible reading. To follow God and serve God, we find much of the answers that we seek in deep, reflective study as we examine the stories of the Old Testament and the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament. Over the years, God has brought to light the way many times I need to go, what decisions and choices I make. Like Mary, and I'm not saying I'm like Mary, but like Mary, who put her dishes down and chose to sit by the feet of Jesus and hear his teaching and listen and get clarity and knowledge. Literally, when she did that, when we do that, the Word transforms us. We are not dependent on public opinion or even just our own feelings about things, because feelings can deceive us. As God's Word fills up more and more space in our lives, our transformation begins. The very DNA of our lives, of our salvific God, is transferred to us. It's an amazing, miraculous transfer. We desire to show and share God's life in new, exciting, and different kinds of ways. As we take each step on our way through this foggy, murky world, gray world, if we remind ourselves in every circumstance that we have placed ourselves humbly into the arms of God, of the God of justice and God of peace, if we tune our ears into the melody of God's grace, if we plant our feet deeply into the Word, the goodness of God, of this earth, and listen closely for the heartbeat of God's reconciling the world to wholeness, if we lean into the Spirit, the divine leading, with our questions, seeking God through the Word, Our hearts will move with grace and with God's heart. Our feet will find the way to righteousness, and we will find peace and joy in the dance of a divine love. So answer this one question: whom do you serve? To answer that question will always answer all the other questions and then determine how we proceed through Bible reading, through prayer, through time alone with God. This is our strength. This is where we find our answers. And this is the challenging, convicting, inspiring, and hopeful and awesome gospel of Jesus Christ.